Dane Herbert with Travis County. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for February 6th, 2024. Agenda item number one is a roll call. Management, can you please lead us through that?
Good afternoon. I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton, and I'll call the roll. Dane Herbert, Travis County.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Steve Martin, City of Austin.
Present.
Harold Null, UT.
Present.
Paul Hodge, Austin ISD.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Present.
Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
And Gatton Contractors, we have joining us is Chris Gonzalez with Bricom.
Present.
We've established a quorum.
All right. Agenda item number two is citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
No, sir, we do not.
And agenda item number three, network management SLA mid-year feedback session. So we have the comments that we made at the last eval session. Jaime, I believe, is going to pull that up.
Yeah.
There it is.
So I think the intent right now is for us to kind of evaluate where we are mid-year, where the network management team is mid-year, and some of the things we want them to continue doing or some of the things we want them to work on towards meeting these deliverables.
Can you zoom in a little bit, please, Jaime?
Yeah. And I don't know if...
There we go.
If I should just leave it on here, give people some time to digest before we start discussing.
Okay. Can you scroll down a little bit, Jaime?
Yep.
Okay, for section one, network management and engineering. Last comment was great job developing a relationship with AE to help us accomplish our projects. And that was a score of 5. So yeah, we didn't really leave any feedback. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, obviously this year we have different sets of challenges moving out of the convention center or planning to move out of the convention center. Lots of ASD projects that are impactful to some of our super nodes. Don't have any real constructive feedback other than keep doing what we're doing. I mean, it seems like the team is focusing on the correct priorities is on the right path.
I'd like to put a comment there basically outlining what you said, that this upcoming year is going to be a challenge for those reasons that you mentioned. And, you know, we hope and expect that they'll continue to do a great job in that, facing that adversity.
Always welcome any sort of constructive feedback to make sure, you know, they're meeting their marks and on target here. If anyone has anything to add, we're not scoring, so it's okay to lay it all out. I could see there being some challenges with balancing projects we want to get accomplished versus making sure we have enough funds to tackle some of these things, like the convention center relocation. I'm not sure if that would go into this section or another one.
Any thoughts there?
I'm thinking maybe underneath financial management. It's a really good point, though. And, you know, I just want to preface as we go through this verbal portion for today for the SLA, you know, we're looking for any feedback we can get, you know, any kind of, even if it's criticism, constructive criticism is greatly appreciated. You know, anything we can do to better our service to the board and tech committee and to the individual entities. But yeah, Jaime, that's a good point. I think that would probably fall underneath the financial section as far as scheduling, but the two of them do tie together.
All right. Yeah, I think we'll mention that in the financial section then.
Okay, are we done with section one? Sounds like it. All right, section two. Hey, Sarah, please reflect that Sid's here.
Noted. Thank you.
Okay, so gathering and organizing legacy Gatton agreements. Okay, I remember that conversation. Okay, what else, what other feedback do we have regarding engineering documentation? Are we happy with the work with Bentley?
This is Gary. I was just going to ask, I know we've been preoccupied with a lot of the other issues that have come up this year. Has there been any progress made on resolving some of these or identifying some of these formal agreements or formalizing some of these agreements?
Yes, so Gary, the one that we're really trying to nail down is TxDOT's, because we have a project coming up with them where we're, you know, we've been in discussion about with the tech committee, at least in regards to TxDOT conduit use. And we're trying to get a blanket general overall agreement with them to cover two other locations that we know about where Gatton's and TxDOT conduit, and there's no written agreement for us to be able to do so. So for that one, we are, and the other ones we do, you know, there's not a whole lot of other people's conduit that we're in, but just any type of agreement, you know, when we're out in meeting with third parties, whether it be right away or whether it be a facility or entity facility or third party facility, and there's not agreement in place for what's transpired in the past, we're always looking for those opportunities. They don't always present themselves, and we don't get a whole lot of, brutally honest here, we don't get a whole lot of cooperation when we try and get these things in effect. Mm-hmm. It seems like, yeah, you're already there. We have no qualms with you being there. We're not interested in entering into an agreement, but we keep pushing the issue, and I always try and collect that back in writing, either in an email or some other form. I think that's huge to have that on record. But yeah, to answer your question, TxDOT, I think we're going to be close. I would put it within a year from hopefully this calendar year. We'll see.
Okay. Well, I know y'all are doing a great job on the agreements that we're establishing moving forward. There's just a lot of old Martha agreements out there, Martha handshakes that aren't documented.
Yeah, that's exactly one of our biggest challenges. And yeah, so they do pop up from time to time where somebody will say, hey, you're over here located at this. And I immediately think, okay, we can get an agreement out of this. Thank you for you know, thank you. Let's get a meeting together. And then, you know, quite honestly, I'll bring up, well, can we get something in writing, you know, how this was established? And it goes like crickets in the room. But, you know, you got to ask, and, you know, you got to kind of be a little bit of a pestering people to get that done. And sometimes we hit a home run with it. Sometimes we strike out, but we definitely take swings at it.
Gary, there's probably some old stone tablets lying around that Martha signed.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
Ten Commandments.
So I want to say it was in this evaluation period that you were able to leverage some of your old contacts with Cap Metro to help us with that easement agreement that dragged on. Or was that last period?
No, it was the period that scored in August. Yeah, okay. It was definitely able to use some older contacts to get that done. And, you know, we went down there and met with them and whatnot. But, yeah absolutely. Cap Metro is one of them that we've gotten taken care of. TxDOT's next. And TxDOT, there is a person there with TxDOT. He's very eager to get this on paper. So I feel pretty good about that one.
Frank, I don't want to hijack the meeting, but the agreement between the City of Austin and Travis County up on 620, is that documented? I believe that is.
I'm sorry, what was the question? Is it what?
Is it the agreement between Travis County and the City of Austin up on 620 regarding the strands up on 620? Is that documented?
It is documented, but I'm fairly certain that was one that was documented, but let me double check, make sure it got executed. I know there was an agreement that went out for it. Just let me double check that it got executed, Dane.
I believe that's the case, and I don't want to take any more time. We can take that offline if we need to.
I'm gonna take it down as an action item.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jaime.
I just mentioned a follow up on it, whether it's documented or not. You know.
Great. All right, last call. Questions, comments on section 2. All right, let's go to section 3.
Also, Mike Lorsterfer joined, just so y'all can note that.
Thank you. I've noted it for the minutes.
All right. Section 3, damage management and disaster recovery. Last cycle, we said great progress on the DR document, and we gave a score of 4.85.
We've completed it, right? But I don't remember when we completed it. Was it before? Was it during this evaluation period?
Yes, that first bullet point there, it was approved at the September 5th board meeting.
That's correct. Okay, so that would count for this period then, right?
Yes. And couldn't be done without the subcommittee, as we made notes to the fact. So thank you, subcommittee.
That's a really good accomplishment.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. That's a big win for Gatton. And Travis County helped out a lot with that one. I got to call that out because they were really informational on how we should develop and get it done.
So my thought is next steps here, now that we have a plan laid out, is that we do a tabletop exercise and test it out and make some improvements. So I know we haven't done that in years. Last one was facilitated by UT. I believe that person no longer exists there, Jaime?
She's retired, yeah. And I don't think we have anyone that could facilitate it at this point, but...
Okay, well, I would ask this to the manager.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go on.
I was going to ask management to look into paid engagements with facilitators that could put together a tabletop exercise. Travis County, in partnership with the City of Austin, we've done several related around cybersecurity, and there are organizations that do that for a fee. So I'm certain that there are organizations that can do something similar as it relates to like disaster recovery. So I would like in the next 6 months or to a year, for management to go out and see if we can find somebody to partner with to put something like that together. What does the rest of the board think?
I think that's great. Don't have to get it done, but at least let's get a plan on, you know, what it would cost and what the next steps would be.
Yeah, agreed.
Got it.
And management, Frank?
Yes.
Carlos, Sarah, if you have any questions on that, or, you know, you can just reach out to me and we can talk it out and kind of tell you what I'm thinking. But I believe you, Frank, you were probably here at the last one.
I was. Yep. I remember that. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, I think we took Treaty Oak down for that one, right?
Yeah, we had all those stickers on the wall, all the stick-its notes. And step by step what takes place next and what happens next and what triggers next.
Let's take down the convention center next time.
Yeah. Do it in the next 6 months.
It's an omen, you know, what we do in the exercise happens.
Yeah, that'd be a good tabletop. Great tabletop.
All right. Moving on.
I believe you had a comment for this one, Jaime.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the way to word it, but something to the effect of budgets are tightening, and we can't accomplish the projects we previously set forth because of unexpected projects.
Budget forecasting. Yeah.
Okay, any other feedback on financial management? I can't remember the last time the team scored less than a 5 on this one. Definitely an area of strength. Hey, management team, we're going to have to change this to a 6-point scale.
So you guys yeah, right. Need to grow.
You're getting a little close to the 5s here.
We're striving.
Okay.
Right. Contract administration.
If I remember, there's been a challenge here because AISD has changed some of their internal processes, which has had a bit of an impact on management's ability to either renew or go out for bid. Can I get some details on that?
Sarah, you may want to speak.
Speak
to this. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Sarah. Yes, we issued, I believe it was 5 total RFPs in the last fiscal year. And AISD has a new policy that requires a standalone contract with every RFP. It used to be that the RFP language itself combined with the vendor's submission as well as a letter of award constituted the agreement for that RFP. But now they have required a standalone contract with every RFP so that we are going to go back through our previously issued RFP awards that do not have the standalone contracts, and Sid's going to work on drafting those contracts. Most of them we do have contracts for, but most recently this came up with USIC because previously we just had the RFP, the submission, and the award letter. And so in the process of that negotiation, Sid drafted a standalone contract for that, which I think it is a good process going forward. So I wouldn't say it's hindered us. It's just something we, you know, need to do going forward.
It's created another step.
Retire.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sid. I heard something about retire.
It's helping my retirement fund.
Can we check that
Struck.
So are you taking these on as they're expiring and need to be renewed or as in bulk?
When we renew, we will look to get a contract in place if we don't already have one. As Sarah said, we are at this point following the AISD policy, and when there's a new RFP of any kind, there will be an associated contract with it. I will say that while not entirely a form contract, we have figured out that the one we drafted for the locate contract for USIC will be able to serve as a base template, all the boilerplate and the typical contract stuff that's got to be in every contract, including some very obscure Texas statutory requirements, will be in that form. And the basic differences between the contracts will be in the attachments. We're going to take the approach that the main contract contains all the base contract language and provisions, and attachments will describe to the greatest degree we can get away with what the actual contract scope and substance is, and we'll deal with it that way. So I think that'll streamline at our end the ability to have those standalone contracts and not have to redraft the guts of them every time.
Makes sense.
Yes, and I believe the only standing agreements we have that don't have those standalone contracts are our Bentley management with Advanced One and our legal, of course.
We won't go there.
Was there any other challenges with changes at AISD outside of RFPs?
Well, yes, they did transfer over to a new financial system. And so there was a bit of a challenge with onboarding our vendors. I wasn't informed when it happened, which was November of 2022. And so a blanket email went out to all of our vendors, and probably it went to some of their junk email. You know, they may have thought it was a phishing email. So they didn't respond to it. And then it was kind of like, I found out right before the summertime that they were onboarding, trying to get everybody onboarded to a new system. So it was a big rush to, you know, get in contact with those vendors and get them to go through that process. And then the process itself is a third party process. So it was taking anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks or longer for that to happen. And then there's been some technical issues since then, but I believe that, you know, we are working through them, that all of our vendors are onboarded into the new system. And now it's a matter of getting them all converted over to ACH payments versus check payments. So
well,
I think we're
and I will
there.
Say the PO process is getting better. The third party vendor onboarding is not. And it is strongly encouraged any future vendor that Gatton might work with to try to go through that process just to get them in. So you're not waiting that 4 weeks just in vendor onboarding before PO creation could even be started.
Exactly.
I know that's hard to, kind of think of all the different vendors you might do business with, but I think that one, that joint bore that they want, y'all wanted to do, like, you know, that one comes up. And so stuff like that, like, you know, if you're ever going to do something with Google Fiber, might want to, you know, try to get them going, or, you know, different providers.
Okay. I mentioned that just as something to continue working on to help refine
and
some
of
the process.
And that's also on Austin ISD side, you know, as we start doing business with other, you know, it'll be added to that vendor kind of repository that Gatton would be able to use, you know, as well. So it's just something to note.
And I'd just like to say on this, Dane, Jaime, is, you know, with the 3-person team that we have, Sarah mentioned it briefly and when she very first spoke, that we had 5 RFPs that just went out and got completed. So, tremendous job to Sarah. Thanks to Sid. Thanks to ISD. Even though the extra steps in there, we were still able to get it accomplished and get everything done in a timely manner. I think that's phenomenal with everything else that we have going on to also be able to, take place, for the board to get approval, for the vendors to get set up in the ISD system, and for everything to go seamlessly is quite an accomplishment when you've got 5 of them going simultaneously. So kudos to Sarah and everybody else involved.
is five simultaneously abnormal or higher than average?
We won't see them again for quite some time, Sarah. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we staggered a couple of them to where they we don't see that again.
Yeah, I believe in 5 years we'll have another four to five.
I think we dropped one maybe.
I think 2026 is when we have the maintenance agreement, and that's the only one that we have that year. This was definitely the majority of our agreements that went out for RFP this year. But I will say, you know, absolutely, AISD's new Bonfire procurement system is wonderful. All of the evaluators have enjoyed working in that. It is much easier and more streamlined and efficient than that process used to be. So I really appreciate that new system.
That's a great point, Sarah. That's Bonfire is pretty cool.
UT's moved to it as well, and I agree with what – I mean, I got to participate on Fire both through the Gatton side and the UT side. I agree.
So. All right.
Are we ready to move on from contract administration to business administration?
From my perspective, management's had this section locked down for quite a while now.
I agree.
Does anybody have any feedback? Do we have a process for individual entities to purchase or sell strands to another entity?
Yeah, the UFAP, I don't know if that rings a bell.
That covers unallocated strands.
Yeah, that's a good point. As soon as I said that, I thought that, yeah. A process for selling, what is it again, Dane? I'm sorry, I was thinking UFAP automatically, my apologies. So,
I'm looking for feedback here because there's not a lot because you guys are doing such a great job. But my suggestion is for management to put together at least a draft of a policy for entities to acquire or sell fiber to each other.
I think generally
we talked about that. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say generally it's just been handled between the entities, kind of like Travis County and ACC did with the C1. C2 South, and we picked up six strands on C1 North and gave you six strands on C1 South that one time. It was before you were here, so.
Yeah, it was way back.
But it might be, yeah.
Yeah, I can give you an example. Right now there's one taking place with, you know, the City of Austin and another entity for some fibers on City of Austin fiber. So, you know, there's a different, you know, like an MOU that'll be created. We do house some MOUs, Dane, and the other members, just so y'all know, that take place between one entity and another from the City of Austin standpoint, if it's City of Austin involved with it, because it's going to cross our desk for approval. We don't, all, like Gary's saying, the other agreements or the other things that have taken place in the past, we haven't always seen those, but if we wanted to start housing those or collect those, that would be, I think, a really good idea. Something we could store on SharePoint so others have access to it if they should be privy to it. And then the other part of that is, if we were to draft some kind of fiber policy from one member to another, I think that might be something more directed towards Sid that we could assist with, or just, you know, network management team and Sid get involved with that.
Yeah. I mean, I was
just referring to. Go ahead, Gary.
Sorry. No, go ahead, Dean.
I was going to say, in the interlocal, we have the ability for individual members to sublease or to, you know, do whatever they want with their strands as long as it's governmental purposes.
Yes.
What I'm referring to is the permanent exchange of strands that would affect network rights percentages.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gary. Well, I was just going to agree with Dane. I'd say we'd need to, you know, probably formalized that it needs to be presented. You know, the agreement between the two entities needs to be presented to the boards and then, you know, maintained in a permanent record somewhere. I think so, that's what we did when Travis County and ACC swapped the fibers way back when.
So this is HighMate, perhaps just a general one-pager framework that the two entities come to terms on their own, and then what's the process? Does it need to go just before, does it go before the tech committee, or is it just, hey, this is an announcement at the board? Does it require a vote? Things like that.
It would certainly require a vote from the board. although I don't know that the board would, you know, argue with any terms. Yeah. But I do want to ask the question, would the board care about terms? Would the board allow even just the gifting? I don't think gifting is allowed. I think there's more conversation that needs to be.
Yeah.
I think there's conversation that needs to occur to make this bulletproof.
Which section should we list this as a something
just
we'd like to see?
The last one, I think. Business administration.
Okay.
Hello. This is Carlos. I just wanted to make sure that this would also have to go to the tech committee. There's a couple of reasons. There's technical things that need to be addressed when that happens. Those fibers are in use, let's assume for 1 second that it's AISD selling 12 of their strands to, I don't know, DIR, but for argument's sake, no problem. But the basic problem on that is that all those 12 fibers basically show up on every AISD site, and they need to be removed from those sites. All that stuff needs to be worked out, as well as all those fibers connecting at the super nodes and all other nodes. In most of the cases, let's assume for City Hall, if they were to sell those fibers, they still show up in their panel, and it would have to be taken care of. All that needs to be ironed out before all that. FYI.
So, Carlos, what you're referring to is a procedure.
That's correct, sir.
And what I'm talking about is a policy. So I think that the board, what I'm recommending is that management work with legal to, and the board, of course, to come up with a policy that enables this type of transaction. And then I agree with you, once there is a transaction pending, all of the procedural stuff would need to be ironed out, including, you know, splicing and labeling at the super nodes and all of those things that you outlined.
Yeah, impact items, Jim.
I just noted develop policy and procedures for exchange of ring fiber from one entity to another.
Could also be a swap, right? It could be fiber swap or.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. All right. Cool deal. I've got it as action item as well.
Okay. Do we have any other feedback from management on any of the items that we've already discussed? Okay, I think we're done. Great job, management team. I think we noted in the first section, this next year or 6 months, 6 to 12 months is going to be a little bit more of a challenge with some of the things that are coming up, but I have no doubts that it's all going to go very smoothly.
Thank you.
Okay, having said that, let's get back to the regular agenda then. Jaime, thank you very much for taking notes.
Sure.
Agenda item number 4, review and approve the minutes from the regular board meeting of January 9th, 2024 in your packet.
Carlos, it's number 4. The minutes.
This is Gary with ACC. Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
This is Steve Martin with City of Austin. I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Oh, did I call Steve Pyle? Sorry, yeah. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
All right, thank you, Sarah. Moving on to agenda item number 5, consent agenda. The board will entertain a motion.
This is Jaime. I'd like to move to approve the consent agenda for items that were recommended for approval at the January Tech Committee meeting.
This is Steve with the RL second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Steve Martin.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved.
All right, thank you. Agenda item number 6, board chairperson update. 6A is Travis County's requesting a non-emergency maintenance moratorium for the election window from February 17th to March 15th. This is pretty standard in election years. You can bet that there's going to be another request later in the year around November timeframe. We are asking all of our critical partners to avoid any non-emergency maintenance during this time so that we can ensure uptime. And this request is coming from the Travis County Clerk's Office. Is there any questions, comments, concerns?
My only question would be, do we have anything scheduled there already that needs to be rescheduled? I don't have a problem approving a date, but I just want to make sure that we don't have anything out there.
So this is Frank, and we're going to address that in the project status report, but we've already spoken with Travis County and met with our vendors in regards to projects and when they're scheduled for it, and we're creating windows to allot for this. So from a network management standpoint, we don't have any issues or requests with this moratorium. We're just going to schedule around them.
That being the case, if nobody else has anything, motion
well, I do have one thing. UT recently purchased some strands on the C1 North, and it turns out those strands need to be spliced pigtails over at Northeast High School. If possible, I'd like to get that work done since we've been trying to get that C1 North ring up for some time now. Don't have a schedule yet either. But, I mean, is it possible? Dane, we work with network management to schedule a time that might be appropriate for that, even if it's during the moratorium.
Yeah, just reach out and we'll take a look at it.
All right, thanks.
All right, any further discussion? Okay, item number 6B, network manager spending authority. I requested this one in my tenure here. In Gatton, there's been one increase to the network manager spending authority. I know that Sarah has that information for backup. I'm going to propose that we upgrade it or we increase it. We all know how inflation has gotten a little silly over the last little period. Cost of fiber has gone up. Cost of labor has gone way up. So, Sarah, can you explain what the background is?
Yes. Yes, this is Sarah. The original network manager spending authority from 1999 was $20,000. In 2010, you can see the revision date down there, it was increased $5,000 up to $25,000. And then the revision from 2020, I believe, was related to the amount of fiber that we were keeping on hand, that we were changing it from 114 count to our standard count, which is now 192. So, yes, it hasn't been increased since 2010. $25,000, I believe inflation has gone up. Cumulative is about 40% since 2010.
Wow.
As we discussed in the budget session.
40%. That's incredible. That's incredible. One of the reasons behind this spending authority is so that the network manager has the ability to go out and buy a reel of fiber and get it installed on an emergency basis without having to convene the board for a vote. That's the purpose behind it. That's the spirit behind it. $25,000 for me seems a little low. Gary, you've been here a long time. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't have a problem with it, and I'm not sure what we're looking at raising it. My only question, well, I have one question, one comment. The question is, with our budget situation right now, we're already really, really tight, and we don't have a whole lot of leeway in there. I know that management has been good financially and monitoring our money, but we just need to make sure that we continue to do that, especially in these tight times. And then the other comment would be is, I know I saw a report maybe when we were doing the budget or something like that, where management was making expenditures. I'm wondering if we would regularly get a report showing those expenditures, especially with the budget the way it is. What was everybody thinking about the amount that you wanted to raise it to?
I didn't have anything in mind personally. I thought that the board could come up. Well, I wanted to see if the board agreed that it's due for an upgrade, an increase is the word. And then I thought that we could all together find something that's comfortable. But you do bring up a good question. So I guess, Sarah, how are expenses under the spending authority reported?
Well, typically those are like our emergency repairs, you know, so we will get a teardown, the maintenance contractor will get dispatched. Obviously, that is an emergency situation. We don't have time to get board approval for that cost. And most of the time, those emergency repairs are under $25,000. So Frank approves them. And so those are noted on the job budget report. You'll see on the job budget report when we get to that part, there's a column that says approved by. And so if it's approved by the network manager, if it's under a spending authority, it'll say manager. If it's approved by the board, it'll say board. And so those are pretty much just all of the emergency repairs. I wasn't quite sure what you were talking about, Gary, when you said something about the management team having expenditures.
Well, no, there was just a couple. I don't remember what we were looking at. It was last month, 2 months ago, whatever it was. And there was a couple expenditures that did not seem to fit in emergency repair category, and that I was kind of surprised about. I mean, they were small, but you know, anything right now, the way that our budget is until we get things squared away with the new NOC can affect us.
This is Sid. A couple of thoughts just to suggest some alternatives that you haven't raised. There is nothing to say that the spending authority authorization has to be just one. And by that, I mean there could be a emergency spending authority and spending level for emergencies, and another authority for routine maintenance, which is kind of the way it's worded right now, with a different limit. And the emergency spending authority, if it's above whatever limit you decide on, or whatever routine limit you decide on, you could get a check and balance by, for instance, having the network manager need to get approval from the chair, that kind of a thing. So there's a way to accommodate both the reality of unexpected repair and your budget concerns, Gary. For instance, language that says the for routine maintenance expenses, they have to be consistent with the budget.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's sounds like a logical way to go.
Yeah, this is Jaime. I like that approach of establishing maybe a much higher amount for emergency restoration when somebody's down.
And where is that distinction made? The language that you mentioned about it being consistent with the budget. Is that here in the...
No, that's not. What I'm saying is Gary's concern could be cabined by having the routine maintenance authorization, whatever that amount is, need to be consistent with the budget.
Just the language here that Sarah's presenting. And where is that, Sarah? Where is this documented?
This is the maintenance procedure. This is the only place where the network manager spending authority is mentioned in Gatton procedures and policies.
If you're going to do anything other than a really simple monolithic kind of a thing, it probably makes sense to have a separate policy rather than have it in a maintenance procedure.
What do you think about that, Sarah?
That would be fine. That seems appropriate.
Drafting a separate policy and then maybe just referring to it here in this document.
That makes sense to me.
Yep.
This is Jaime. Would it make sense to put some of the emergency repair spending limits in the disaster recovery plan if it's not already there?
I believe it's in there, but go ahead, Sid. Sorry.
I was just going to say, again, have the disaster recovery document just refer to the spending authorization. That way you don't have to repeat it. And there's always a danger if you put substance in two or three different places. The problem of reading them together consistently arises. So always better to refer to one document that has the policy so the interpretation doesn't get muddied up.
That makes sense to me. What does the rest of the board think?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a network manager, I certainly don't want to advocate one way or the other, but I do think that we should hold a meeting. I'd like to request a meeting with Dane and Jaime and Sid to go over this topic in particular to make sure that everything's understood the way it's written right now, the way it could possibly be broken out to best benefit Gatton as we move forward, and then bring that to a technical subcommittee meeting or a board. I'll probably have Sarah attend it as well from a standpoint of writing it up for us, if that's okay with you, Jaime, and Dane, and Sid.
For me?
That's fine for me. I want to make sure the board is on board. Forgive me.
Yeah, no, we will.
Separating this out into a separate policy, and and then also we come up with whatever amount that we feel comfortable with.
Absolutely. I'm going to take that down as a action item to set up check your availability and get a meeting facilitated so we can discuss this in greater detail. and then bring it back to the board.
Okay, well, in that spirit then, why don't we just come back to the board with a proposed policy separated mm-hmm. out and a new amount and see if the board has any problems with that?
Yep, that'd be a good plan in my opinion. The board's okay with that.
What does the board think about that?
It sounds reasonable to me. This is Steve with City of Austin.
Okay, sounds good. We'll do that. Thanks, everybody. Back to the agenda. All right, 6C, Austin ISD bond construction impact to Gatton Supernode sites.
So this is Frank. Paul or AISD, do you have any updates on this one?
We did get our proposal for the prefab data center that we're looking to do at Travis. I'll be sharing that information to this subcommittee here in a few minutes. We are exploring the possibility now of doing the same thing at Northeast and moving Gatton outside of the school of Northeast and in its own building. So that's the only update we have.
Is there any action items for us as a network management team to take on behalf of Gatton in regards to this?
There is. I will be reaching out to y'all in regards to easements at Travis High School. That question came up, and they have a meeting scheduled with me, I believe, next week. So circling back to the earlier in this meeting about documented easements and agreements, I would be interested what all we might have at Travis High School, if there's anything documented or if it just all falls under the ILA.
Okay.
I think that's currently the only actual item that I have for y'all at this point in time.
Any questions from the board members in regards? Right. Aaron Nunn, you want me to take 6D, Dane?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so for 6D, network management seeking approval for the Gatton backup NOC for transport rings. It's the decommissioning that remains and the cost associated with that for not to exceed $240,000, which is to be funded from the FY25 MAC budget. So if you'll look at your handouts, you'll see there is a document there. It's green and blue. It's titled Gatton Backup NOC Decommissioning Cost Proposals. It's handout item 6D. And I've got this is pretty straightforward, but it's quite a bit of information I've got to give to you here in regards to this. I'm trying to streamline it, so bear with me here. So for this agenda item, it's requesting approval, as mentioned, for the remaining cost to decommission the four transport rings from the Convention Center Backup NOC. Just a little bit of history here for you. In April 2023, the Convention Center gave the notice to vacate to Gatton from the Convention Center. And they recently requested me, Friday before last, that they are hopeful that Gatton will be out by fall of 2024. You remember originally it was spring of 2025. I've got my ear close to the ground on this. I know one of their last events is going to take place in spring of 2025. So I think they're just hopeful for fall of 2024. I haven't made any commitments to them from a network management standpoint or from a Gatton standpoint, you know, which tie together either way about it. Moving forward with this agenda item, the ring reroute designs and proposals have been reviewed. They were reviewed at three consecutive tech meetings, being July, August, and September, illustrating the total cost of the rings to be decommissioned for $475,000. So what we're actually seeking is the remainder of that cost. At the October board meeting, so this is the fourth meeting, it came from the three tech meetings, and it to the that it came to the October board meeting for approval. The ring priority costs totaling $242 for engineering, fiber, and excavation were approved. So that was back in October 3rd. And the remaining costs of the $233K, which consists of permitting and labor, is what is being requested for approval today to be funded out of the, as previously mentioned, the FY25 MAC budget. So the something to keep in mind here, the total cost of $475K does not include removal of storage or the equipment, as the board has yet to decide on what to do with the Gatton backup knock equipment. Just as a reminder to the members, there's been some discussion with AISD in regards to that, some of the use of some of that equipment. Also, just so members know, the subcommittee for the new Fire Station 4 has been in discussion of the current equipment at the backup knock, what can and can't be used. We're just not at a point to where we're able to decide that yet until we get some further information and ultimately approval from Fire Station 4. And I'm going to talk to that here in a little bit to move forward. So basically, in a nutshell, management is seeking approval for the remaining four transport backup knock decommissioning costs and those rings to be removed, not to exceed $240K, which is rounded up from the $233K as one. And lastly, out of the FY25 budget. So the way to look at this, I think, from a board standpoint or even from a technical standpoint, is this has to take place no matter what. This is protection of our own network. We know they're going to go in there and start demolishing at some point the convention center. We want to be allotted as much time as we can get as the Gatton network to get around and get out of that facility. We don't want to put any risk to the network, because if they start tearing anything down, anything like that took place, if they would create an opening on any of our four rings, which we can't have. And whether Fire Station 4 is the location, which I'm feeling really good about from all we've been told from the City of Austin, or not, we have to get our fibers out of this convention center to ring them together to make sure those rings are together and that the services are contiguous. So with that being said, I'll field any questions you may have. Other than that, we're seeking approval for the 200, what's highlighted in yellow and circled in red there, or a cost not to exceed.
Carlos, I'm sorry. Can you go back to the handout, please?
I see it on my screen. I thought I did. Oh, no, he's on something else. Yeah. Where'd it go? You got it, Carlos?
Yes, sir. Just a second.
I had to pull up.
Frank.
Yeah.
I understand that what's being requested here is approval for the funding for the project. One of my priorities here is to minimize the amount of time that Gatton is serving with only one knock down to zero, if possible. So I'm assuming we're not looking at scheduling this decommissioning. This is just the funding and ordering of any materials and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's going to be really tricky, Daniel, and I understand your point where you're coming from. So this is going to cover the engineering portion that remains, the permit and traffic control plans that remain, and the labor that remains. And so when we look at decommissioning the convention center, you know, we still have that part of that excavation on A2N, which is going to take quite some time. Carlos and I have been talking about this in great detail along with the vendor for this. We are hopeful to have that A2M portion completed by fall, but we don't think it'll take place probably till next calendar year, and we'll be doing good to have it done by spring of 2025, which, to your point and your concern, which I fully understand, we made pretty good shape, hopefully, with what we're planning to put at Fire Station 4. But from just a network standpoint, if we get this approval today, I can go ahead and get the engineering portions taken care of, the permit and the traffic control. I'll have to try and gauge that as far as when that best aligns up with, us turning out of the convention center. But either way, ultimately, I see what you're saying as far as the time, you know, the less amount of time we have, we go without two knocks, the better. And that's certainly understandable. But at the same time, we have to operate these rings fully. So it's a little bit of a risk one way and a little bit of a risk the other. And I just keep in the back of my mind, I'm not recommending it, but I keep in the back of my mind that Gatton did operate for years with just one knock. So it looks like we're going to have to do that at some point, unless Fire Station 4 goes a lot quicker than what I'm deeming it to be. And I don't want to get too far from the weeds here, but the biggest thing for me when it comes to Fire Station 4, if that comes to fruition, which is looking like it will, I'll get into that a little bit later, is the ILA, is the agreement for that to be done. But at the same time, we have to, as Gatton, look at these four rings, and we have to get started now to be able to remove these rings by January of 2025. Does that make sense?
So it makes sense that you work on permits, engineering, and all of that kind of stuff that needs to be done in preparation. But
yes.
I don't see the urgency in actually cutting cables. In fact, ideally, I think that we can execute a plan where the new location is up, spliced into the rings, and ready to go, and entities can migrate their equipment over before the cables outside of the convention center are decommissioned.
Yeah.
So that may not end up manifesting itself in the way that I'm describing, but that's my hope. And I certainly think that we should be striving for that.
Absolutely. 100% agreed.
I just have a question on all this. Have we totally given up on recovering any costs? Or where does that stand?
The last I heard, the city was possibly offering contributions in kind, or like contributions, but not necessarily any monetary assistance. Now, that may have changed. I guess, Steve, that would be your area.
Yeah, to be honest, I hadn't heard an update in quite some time from either convention center or from city attorney assigned to this to see where that is. But I will make a follow-up note and report back up through this channel on where we are with that.
So this is Steve with DIR. Frank, did I hear you say that the convention center came back and asked us to and moved up the date when they asked us to move out?
Yeah, they'd come up Friday before last and requested if there's any chance that we could be out by fall.
Okay. Well, the question that Gary was asking, what are they doing to help us support that? If there's no intention for them to help us or move out, then it's very hard for us to spend the extra money, do all the escalation to do that without some support from them, from my standpoint.
Yep. Nope. I totally get that.
That's just not the way that should work.
Yeah. So there's that factor. And then there's also, I'm not taking away from that at all. Trust me on this, but there's also, let's look at our four rings here. They go in and out of that facility, and they are tied together inside that facility. So they've already notified us they're going to demolish it by spring of 2025. If we're not out, that's going to cause a major outage to all four of our rings and our network.
Has to be some type of legal ramifications from them just going in there and taking our stuff down. Legally, I don't believe they can just do that with the traffic that's on there. They have to be able to work with us on that to make that happen.
Well, see,
it may slow their project, right? It may put them behind a little, but that's why they need to work with us. That's really the bottom line to me. You want us out, work with us, help us move out, and then we're all happy. But saying they're just going to take us down at a certain date, I have some concerns about that.
Yeah, I find it difficult to accommodate the request.
Yeah. Right. There's live traffic on there, government traffic, and I'm pretty sure there's laws around being able to affect that traffic without something going on with it. Right. So,
yeah,
I have a question. Would any of the entities be able to, engage any legal recourse, to the convention center if that were to happen? Or would that have to just come straight from Gatton? Like, if we're talking about half my schools go down, or City of Austin Police Department goes down, or something like that.
I, I think that'd be executive session. Sid, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're bored. No, it's a great question. I just think to get the answer, it would require executive session.
Agreed.
So I just want to put this out there. I just want to put this out there that Austin Convention Center gave us the initial notice in April 2023, and it was a one-year notice to vacate. They didn't give us a specific date to vacate. Just in my meetings with them and our previous meetings, Dane, you remember Jaime, we met with them initially after the April 2023 notice. They just gave us a date at which they plan on to demolish Ben Spring in 2025. But, you know, we're coming up on a year since we got that notice. And I you know, for me, it's kind of like there's two things going on here. It's kind of catch 22 because as Gatton, we have to protect our network, right? Common sense. Everybody knows that. To Dane's point is the one way of protecting our network is that we don't go down ever without having two knocks, which I 100% agree with also. But then there's that standpoint from a legality and agreement standpoint where Clark and Sid got to do the new agreement for the new facility at Fire Station 4. And then there's the existing agreement that stands in place, which, you know, I know some GAT members, if not all GAT members, feel it was breached. So I have said this before, and I'll say it again, and just take it as a grain of salt, but or at least keep it in your back pocket. I think meetings should be taking place with the Convention Center City of Austin folks and Gatton representatives right now, continually, until this all gets worked out, that who's responsible for what and what is the City of Austin going to do, if anything at all. And you know, I look at Fire Station 4 and I've, you know, and I know that the city does, and in some regards I can't help but look at it the same way, is that that's their in-kind contribution. They're offering up that land and that property for the new backup knock. So I want that to be taken into consideration. And then what else we can get from them, we won't know until Sid starts negotiating with their attorney. And when one of the GAT members say, hey, let's see if we can get this, or this would be good, or ABC, you know, that would be good. Sid can start negotiating with the attorney for that new facility. As far as what we're trying to get approved today, really doesn't have anything to do with Fire Station 4. It in your mind, I understand how it may have to do with the existing ILA, and I can certainly see that, but I would look at it. This is being our fiber, just our fiber. We're still going to have a generator in there. We're still going to have switches, in-row coolers. We're going to still have our security in there, our fire suppression. Everything's still going to be in there, but we got to get our fiber out of there. And we need to start now in order to make sure that no matter what they do or what legal ramifications may take place between Gatton and them and the City of Austin, that Gatton's fiber is not at risk. And to Dane's point, we can try and time that to where I can come back to the board. If you want to put a caveat there, we come back to the board, we get approval to make the cut, but I have to get started on, we should get started, the network management team and Gatton vendors should get started on doing this decommissioning from a fiber network standpoint, just fiber topology itself, taking the agreements out of the equation.
We shouldn't just try. We should have a plan in place with a completion date for Fire Station 4. And a decommissioning date to come after that for the fiber. Again, there could be some things out of our control that make that impossible, but our plan should be bring Fire Station 4 up, move our entities over, and then decommission the fiber so that there's zero downtime. But I know that you've got to get started on the engineering and the permit ASAP.
It takes so long to do it. It just does. It could be six, 8 months out right now.
I find it unlikely that there would be wrecking balls taking down the building without us having sufficient notice. I think that we can have that legal conversation if that happens down the road, but I find it unlikely.
So when you're talking 6-8 months down the road, Frank, you're talking for the permitting and everything?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, because, I mean, to me, that should be something that, you know, the city should be working with us on, since that's not the city, but the Convention Center city is causing us grief over. I mean, there should be something in the conversations that help alleviate that 6 to 8 months worth of permitting. You know, this isn't, you know, if something was emergency in the city, I bet the permitting would be, you know, accelerated, waived, whatever.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point, Gary. I think the board would appreciate if the city would prioritize Gatton's permitting on this situation. That is definitely something that could help.
So yeah, that's again, you know, it's an excellent point, and it's again another, you know, it's another key line item where this, I think these, and you know, these discussions should be taking place between the city of Austin, the Gatton board chair, and the Gatton Tech, along with network management, possibly Gatton Legal and city of Austin Legal. But being those conversations aren't taking place, like I just want to explain this to you like this. So I hear what you're saying, and I make notes of it, and I bring this up to Steve, you know, and Steve brings it up to Carica, and from there it may go to city management, it may go back to right away, it may go back to commission center folks or other departments within the city of Austin, but that's as far as it goes. If there was a meeting held between Gatton, say monthly, and the commission center folks and right away department, any other players involved with this, to include Austin Energy, because there's going to be some, once again, make ready work for us to get Fire Station 4 taken care of, would any of that make ready work be waived? You know, things of that nature. These conversations should be taking place, not just from I'll take on the world for Gatton, I really will, but I can't do this on my own as a network manager. This has to be, I need Gatton NC support saying, you know, this is what our anticipation is. You know, this is what we expect. We'd be grateful for this. And if you can't do this, then legally, this is the recourse that we're prepared to take.
I would be happy to sit in any of those meetings.
Yeah. Do you hear me on that, Steve? Martin?
I do.
Yeah. I'm thinking that we can.
We just put it, speak softly and carry a big stick. I mean, that's the answer. We're all, at the end of the day, we're all on the same page. It's just getting this done the right way. We just got to be careful. Yeah, the right way and the wrong way to go about this.
Yeah. How can we benefit each other the way we always have? And like Wayne Liebermeyer used to say, don't let a disaster grow to waste. That's the way I look at it. Like, how can we benefit, you know, even in the face of adversity, how can we do best serve each other?
Okay, so the board will entertain a motion on 6D. This is Dane. Motion to approve funding not to exceed $240,000. For the ring decommissioning of the Gatton backup NOC to be funded from the FY25 MAC budget.
This is Steve Martin, City of Austin. I second.
There is a motion and a second to approve item 60. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Steve Martin.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, everybody. Item 6E. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, so for this one, I do have some good news here. Let me get to that document. And Steve Martin, feel free to add on to this if you'd like. So for 6E, the Gatton backup NOC relocation associated agreement and subcommittee update at the January Tech Committee meeting, the backup NOC subcommittee recommended again proceed with a professional survey and subsurface utility or sewer work, as you may know it, review of the Fire Station 4 property where the proposed NOC will be for design and approval for design approval purposes. So we've already got that engaged with Briarcom. to get this work completed, and it's being scheduled. And at the last board meeting, it was noted that the fire department had requested that approval be obtained from the Neighborhood Association and Historic and the City of Austin Historical Society. So that's where the good news is. I was talking to Steve with the City of Austin last week, and I was able to provide Chief DeLeo with some information he needed pertaining to the knock at Fire Station 4. And it was regards to Neighborhood Association asking about the outside of the knock facility, if there was any options as far as, you know, cosmetically, what could it look like, whether it's stucco, brick, rock, et cetera, et cetera. Luckily for us, the item that we've proposed and the type of prefab building that we're looking at doing literally takes days to set up, and it comes with multiple options for our ability to potentially accommodate if it suits Gatton also at the same time. And from what I understand from talking to Steve with the city also, he's been working with the Historical Society, and we're hopeful to hear back something soon. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong on any of that, and if you have any new updates since then, please fill us in.
Yeah, that's all accurate. I just want to point out that to Frank's point that the fire department is just asking us to be prepared with what options may be available from a aesthetics point of view regarding the structure. Not that they're anticipating or even heard anything from anybody negatively. Namely, they're really talking about the homeowners association in the area. He is trying to streamline. This is Chief Talia now. Chief Davis, who we were working with along with Chief Talia, has since retired from City of Austin, and so he's no longer there. But Chief Talia has taken up the mantle and is driving this through. And he's doing everything he can to try to expedite this for us. So I can't really comment more than that, other than everybody's pretty optimistic on the city side of getting this done.
Yeah, and I did notify Chief Talia last week. I'll let the board know that as soon as he gives us the green light, you know, from everything, you know, we've already gotten through the green light on a couple of other hurdles already for this, which are major ones. The Historical Society is absolutely one. The HOA, from what I understand, is just a part of, you know, being transparent with that association. So I did notify him on Friday, or reminded him on Friday, that once we get the green light, that Sid is very used to working with Clark Cornwell, the City of Austin attorney, and has worked on multiple Gatton agreements, and they're very familiar with each other. And they'll be working on a new agreement for City of Austin Fire Station 4 backup knock, Gatton backup knock. So I just let him know that.
So I think one thing that would benefit Gatton when we talk about this new ILA, if we're talking about things that the city can do in kind, I think that Gatton would be interested in a 10-year or more commitment. We got 5 years from the convention center, and thankfully we did, or they probably would have kicked us out before now. I'm thinking 10 years or more would be in the interest of Gatton. What does the rest of the board think? If, of course, the city, you know, they have to go along with it.
I think it's a great idea, yes, to ask for that as a concession.
I'm sorry, Steve?
This is Steve Martin with City of Austin. I think that's a great idea for us to ask for a multi-year agreement to sort of protect ourselves. I think everybody's sensitive to that, all the way up through city manager's office even. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, something we should ask for and should get.
Okay, great. regarding any kind of recurring meetings with Gatton, Steve Martin, I'm happy to get something on my calendar so that we can continue these conversations if it's going to be helpful. Other than that, is there any further discussion on 6D? Oh, I'm sorry, we're on 6E. I'm sorry. So it sounds like none. So moving on to 6F, property damage claim against J.D. Abrams and Lone Star Paving.
This is Sid. Very little new development to report. Gunner has been in contact with the Lone Star attorney, who is the one that sent the indemnity letter demand to the other subcontractor that actually caused the damage. And they are apparently having discussions among the various defendants. Gunner's suggestion is, and we're not sure exactly what they're talking about, but Gunner's suggestion is that it probably benefits us to let them continue to have that discussion and not rattle the cage. His sense is that the cost of the defendant's defense is likely to be large enough, even if just one of them is responsible for it, that is responsible for paying the attorney, that they will, my words, sober up and maybe talk shortly with us about an actual settlement, a serious settlement discussion. So we really are in just kind of wait and see mode at this point. And as long as that wait and see mode doesn't drag on too long, I concur with Gunner's suggestion that we just sit tight.
What does the rest of the board think?
Agreed.
I concur.
Yes.
This is Jaime. Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. Having said that, let's move on to agenda item number 7. Frank, take it away, sir.
Okay, so we've got the project status report from a network management's update. So if you'll please look at 7A, which is the project status report handout. You'll note the completed projects that will, I'm down one page too low here. You'll notice the Gatton active developer funded projects, nothing to update there. We've had some activity, but nothing to report on. Gatton active projects, you know, just as a reminder, everybody, everything that's in red has been impacted within the last 30 days or will be impacted within the next 30 days. So there's a broad sweeping window there. But so we've got Travis County election moratorium February 17th through March 15th. We've got that out there. Currently, you'll see a difference in the upcoming tech meeting for the tech members that are present. If not, you'll see it in the future board. Next board meeting, you'll see different dates scheduled for the Superring South upgrades, which are segment 1, 4, and 6 coming up. We'll just work, get those scheduled out. I'm sorry, it'll be segment 4 and 6. Segment 1 is going to take place. Dang, just heads up, I don't anticipate any issues with this at all. We're still going to keep, I've given approval to go ahead if they can get this scheduled. If not, for segment 1, it's been released for discretion for construction. We anticipate the splice to take place on 2/15 and 2/16, and you'll be notified accordingly. So that's all we have for active projects right now. We're going to work around the moratorium. And then Gatton completed projects, we have the A1N upgrade project segment 1 that wrapped up since the last tech meeting, being on the 9th, 10th of January. I don't have anything to discuss developer future-driven projects-wise. Entity-specific active projects. We do have the Pickle node redundancy install that just took place. And that's all I have for projects for right now. See, anybody have any questions or comments or additions that may need to be spoke upon?
Frank, I think the election window begins on the 18th, does it not?
Is it the 8th? I had it down as the 17th. Let me go back. I'm so sorry.
I don't think there's any concern on that segment 1.
Okay, cool. I got your point there. Yep. Okay. I'll look back at Jesse's email, Dang, just so you know, and I'll correct it if need be.
Sounds good.
All right. Anybody else on this one? Hearing none, Sarah.
Yes, this is Sarah. So for the job budget report, we're tracking 51 jobs. 18 so far have been completed. We've been invoiced for $512,000. We have $2.6 million encumbered. So far for FY24, we've received $162,000 in reimbursements. That's damage claims and project reimbursements from TxDOT. And Carlos, if you can go to the second page, please. That leaves us a fund balance bottom line of $1.03 million. Please let me know if you have any questions. Hearing none, I will move on to the Gatton cost avoidance report update. That's agenda item 7C. If you'll recall, the cost avoidance report is something we put together every couple of years that uses benchmarks from the DIR Texan contract to roughly estimate what Gatton entities are saving on an annual basis by being a part of Gatton. I did meet with the board and tech chair last week to finalize what our benchmarks would be off of the DIR Texan contract. And I sent out the emails today to each entity with your spreadsheet to update. I've asked that you complete them within 3 weeks by February 27th. I'm hoping to be able to bring the final report back to the March board meeting. Otherwise, if I don't get all the responses by then, we will bring it to the April board meeting. And please let me know if you have any questions about that. Or feel free to, you know, reply to my email if you have any questions.
All right, moving on. We had no need for executive session, so we're going to skip items 8 and 9. Number 10, discussion and possible action regarding the financial report and current year fiscal year budget issues.
This is Sarah again. So this is the report that Austin ISD puts together. It's Gatton's overall financial report. This one is for the month ending December 31st, 2023. As you can see so far for FY24, we've taken in $2.25 million in revenue. If you'll recall, our budget for this fiscal year is $2.4 million. We do have some entities that pay on a quarterly basis. All of the entities that pay on an annual basis have already paid. Expenditures, we've only expended $1.2 million to date. And so that left an ending reserve fund of $2.8 million as of December 31st. And then you add in our $2.1 million set aside for emergency, and we had a total Gatton bank account of $4.9 million. Please let me know if you have any questions about that. And as always, feel free to, you know, look through the entire report. Send me an email if you have any further questions.
All right, so I'll take it down to the last one. I hear no questions on that, Dane, if that's okay.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so let me see here, make sure I got a bleak screen here for some reason. It's crazy. Oh, bear with me here, my screen's a little wonky. Okay, so it's correct me if I'm wrong, but we're on number 10, which is discussion and possible action. No, I'm sorry.
Number 11, meeting and action item summary.
Thank you for that. I don't know why my screen's blinking on me right now. I think it's winking at me or something. But anyway, so I'm going to cover that real quick. I got quite a few of them to capture here. I've got a total of, it looks like, 4, 5, 6 items. So first one being 620 Travis County and City of Austin on agreement on 620. See if it is on record and executed, and follow up with Dane from Travis County. Next one is DR tabletop inquiry to the members, facilitators for this potential or possibly paid engagements for doing so. And I've got a 1-year time frame on that, but 6 months to a year. Drafted fiber policy for permanent fiber swap or purchase from one entity to another. I'll be in contact with Sid regarding that.
A question on that one.
Yes, sir.
Does it make sense to combine that with the UFAP policy? Or does it make more sense to have separate policies?
Well, I don't know about making an attachment to it.
50-50 on that one.
Yeah, that's a good
comment. It might be nice to just have one policy that says, you know, the acquisition or selling of strands and have both scenarios in there.
Good thought. I'm going to make a note of that, Dane. Contain with the UFAP or not. Okay. So I'm going to make a note of that as part of the action item. So we'll be in discussion about it. Anything else on that one? Okay. Next one will be set up a meeting with Dane, Hyman, Sid for Network Manager Spending Authority. I'll get that set up soon. You'll see an email from me. Keep an eye out for information requests regarding easements in relation to AISD and the projects that are taking place for them. So, Paul, I'll be looking out for those. And then lastly, I have investigate the possibilities and facilitate meetings between the City of Austin responsible parties and the Gatton Board and Tech Chairs regarding the decommission of the Gatton backup NOC at the Austin Convention Center. And that's all I have for action items today. Please let me know if anybody believes I missed anything or something should be added. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all.
You're done. Go ahead, Frank.
No, thank you all.
All right. Agenda item number 12, confer date, time, location for the next board meeting. It's going to be on March 5th, 2024 at 1:30 p.m. Either here at the Service Center or via Microsoft Teams. Thank you all for your participation. This meeting is adjourned at 2:34 p.m. Sarah, can I get you to hang out for one second?